Hollywood is obsolete and Netflix will die. Welcome to this special report. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, also AI developer and the builder and founder of numerous online platforms. And I'm celebrating today because the Chinese company ByteDance has released C-Dance 2.0, which is an extraordinary video creation engine. And the engine makes Hollywood obsolete, and it shows that Netflix will die. I'm going to show you some examples of this. Of course, the Motion Picture Association in America is losing their minds, totally freaking out, because somebody uploaded a picture of Brad Pitt and a picture of Tom Cruise, and then put in a prompt, like, have them fighting each other on a roof. And they put in, you know, their voice samples, and the engine, which is very capable, the C-Dance engine, was able to create a very compelling clip that just instantly, this was like the Napster moment for movies. So let me actually show you that clip. I just want to be clear that this is not actually Brad Pitt and it's not actually Tom Cruise. But even when you think you're watching them, that's not actually them either. Those are just digital pixels also. So, you know, it's not that different. I just want to be clear that this is not something that Brad Pitt signed on to. Okay, so this is basically a meme of somebody creating this, but I want to show you how impressive it is. So it's only 15 seconds. Take a look.
You killed Jeffrey Epstein, you animal! He was a good man!
He knew too much about our Russia operations. He had to die, and now you die too.
All right, there we go. Pretty amazing stuff, and you can see why Hollywood is totally freaking out at this point. But I want to show you this next video because there was in the recent film called F1, which is about Formula Racing, there's a scene, and this scene has been recreated using AI to show a cat driving a car instead of a human racer. But it uses the exact same camera motion, and the ByteDance C-Dance engine is able to mimic camera motion and also to replace things in video. So this is only 15 seconds also, but check it out and look at the bottom of the frame because there's a cat driving. Check this out. Okay, I want to show you this next video, though. This has been called Chaos. There's a user who created this in about 30 minutes by using just text, you know, text to video. And this uses the C-Dance 2.0 engine, which I haven't had a chance to play with yet. It's on my list. I've got so many AI tools to check out. I literally haven't had a chance to check it out. But I want to show you this video clip because I want you to see that this can do more than just 15 seconds at a time. Here's a clip that's actually over a minute. It's a minute and a half. I'm not sure I'll play all that, but I want you to see how this replaces tens of millions of dollars of special effects and camera work and actors and, you know, all that stuff of Hollywood. It replaces it all for mere pennies in 30 minutes. Okay, so anybody can be a filmmaker now, just as I predicted last year, which I'll talk about. Check out this segment. All right, so this is pretty amazing, as you can see, and this is, of course, a Chinese company. I have said many times that China is beating the United States in AI technology. This is more proof of that. You know, Google's, VO or whatever, it doesn't even compare to this kind of quality and also a continuity of characters. This engine, it looks relatively affordable. Again, I haven't actually tried it yet, but I've seen the pricing page and it seems reasonable. I guess I'll have to try it and see and let you know. We're going to have fun with this engine. That's for sure. The engine was not created with the purpose of, you know, pirating Hollywood faces or characters. People can use it in that way, but that's up to them. You know, if an individual is using the engine, then the individual is, you know, violating the likeness of the actors whose faces they have uploaded. That's on the user. The engine itself is just doing what the engine is supposed to do, which is render very compelling video with audio, with lip sync, with speech, everything like that. So, and yet, you know, the Motion Picture Association is calling out Seedance and saying it's a grotesque example of mass, or they say like copyright violation. They've stolen all the faces. No, Seedance didn't steal anybody's faces. Users uploaded the faces to render this stuff, you know. Seedance just made a really awesome video engine, but then again, Hollywood is run by a bunch of, you know, pedophile morons. They don't understand technology. And I would also add good riddance to Hollywood. So the focus of this podcast is to explain why Hollywood is obsolete and Netflix will die and why that's a good thing. So last year, I talked about this. And by the way, if you want to know what's going to happen in the future, listen to my podcast. It's very simple. You know, people call me a polymath, and I'm very good at pulling together with holistic thinking numerous different abstract points and then being able to project into the future what that's going to mean. And so last year, you may recall if you've heard my podcast, all year last year, what did I say? I said that, especially as I was building the brightlearn.ai book creation engine, which now is the largest book publisher in the world, and you can use it for free, and we've got 35,000 free books there that you can download covering everything. But as I was talking about that engine publicly, I said, look, in 2026, remember I said this last year, in 2026, we're going to turn some of these books into mini documentaries. And I said about 3 minutes in duration, that's our goal, to be able to auto-produce short documentaries based on these books, you know, videos. And then I also said in 2027, you will be able to, and we will be able to produce full-length cinematic films, that is typical 90 minutes, let's say, or a 100-minute film. And that's by the end of 2027. So that was my prediction last year. And here we are, just barely in February, really, or halfway through February. And wow, we already see that my prediction is a little too slow. You are going to see people making full-length movies this year with tools like Seedance. And, you know, there's other capable technology like Kling AI that's also very much on top of this. And there are other platforms as well, but Seedance is clearly the best. And this was just released. So there's a lot of competition, obviously, about this. And all these different platforms and innovators are going to outdo themselves or outdo each other. So importantly, as I said last year, you know, right now you can use a prompt to create the book that you want to read. And that technology already exists. I built it, and I built it myself. I'm the only human engineer on the project. And that's brightlearn.ai if you want to use it. It's free and it's amazing. I mean, it's really amazing. People are blown away by it. And of course, we also live in a world where you can create the music you want to hear using Suno. And I'm a user of Suno. I've created, I don't know, 25 songs on Suno. I mean, like really good, polished, finished songs on Suno. And I've released most of them. And it's amazing. And I found that using Suno, I could create the music that I want to hear. That I have zero interest in the regular music business, which is run by Satanists and pedophiles, etc. They're always trying to shove messages in your brain. So I wanted to hear music my way, with my lyrics, with the style of music that I enjoy, which is a lot of different styles, by the way. And I even did a recent experiment just to show something of writing a song that is in the style and voice of Peter Gabriel. And I said this publicly. This is a demonstration. It took a lot of work, actually, a ton of work, of how to create a song that sounds like Peter Gabriel, his music style, kind of world beat music, and his vocal style, etc. And people were blown away by that. Just blown away, because it was so compelling. And, you know, I publicly offered some advice to Peter Gabriel and other musicians of how they should work with the AI companies like Suno to actually license their voice likeness and then earn royalties on the songs that are rendered with their voice likeness. And there's also a way to use classifier prompts to make sure that the songs are consistent with their alignment and their lyrics and their worldview and things like that. So I'm here actually trying to be constructive and trying to help artists earn money from, you know, their likeness, their voice, their music, their face, their, you know, all these things. And I actually have the same vision for Hollywood actors. See, the Hollywood studios are obsolete. Nobody needs the studios, you know, by next year, let's say. And the studios suck anyway. They're horrible. They're horrible. And their movies suck. I mean, they ruined everything. They ruined Star Wars. How do you ruin Star Wars? You know, they ruined freaking Ghostbusters. They ruined Star Trek. They turned Star Trek into like woke Trek. It was unbelievable. They've ruined every franchise that you can think of. Well, you know, we the people, we would like to have those franchises created with, you know, a much smarter approach that's consistent with the original vision. You know, like there doesn't have to be a lesbian couple in every movie. You know, you don't have to make everything fake and gay, okay? But that's what Hollywood does. So Hollywood made itself obsolete. There's a strong demand for people to render their own movies. And that's exactly what's about to happen. But anyway, actors can work with companies like ByteDance. Let's say if Brad Pitt, no, let's pick Bruce Willis, because Bruce Willis can no longer act. He has a cognitive deterioration condition that's quite serious. But he's a beloved actor, right? He's done so many amazing films. You know, we loved him in The Fifth Element and Die Hard, you know, the best Christmas movie ever. So let's say we want to reanimate Bruce Willis in our own movie. Like, I want to watch Die Hard 5 or whatever the next number is, and I want Bruce Willis in it. The problem is, he's in a care facility and he can't talk anymore, unfortunately. Prayers for Bruce Willis. I don't wish that upon anybody. But my point is that the Bruce Willis estate can benefit financially by approaching companies like ByteDance and saying, hey, here's what we'll do. We will let you use the likeness of Bruce Willis, his face, his voice, etc. And then there's this royalty that goes to the Bruce Willis family, let's say, or, you know, estate or nonprofit or trust or whatever. And at the same time, then ByteDance would agree to not let other users upload Bruce Willis's face or Bruce Willis's voice. And that's easy to do, you know, face matching, voice matching, whatever. And so if a user wanted to render a movie like Die Hard 6, and if they wanted to use Bruce Willis in the movie, then they could do so with permission. Money goes to the Bruce Willis family, and it costs like an extra dollar or something, you know, to render the movie. And it'd be awesome. You know, hey, we got Bruce back. But if you don't want Bruce Willis, if you want some knockoff actor like, I don't know, like Luce Phyllis, you know, Luce Phyllis can be in the movie, but it's not the same. You know, it's a Die Hard light. It's a Die Not So Hard. You know, it's not as good, but it's cheaper. It's a dollar cheaper. See? And there's so many actors that I love, that, you know, that I grew up with and who I've come to respect, like Denzel Washington, for example. I think he's a great actor, but also think he's a good person, which is very unusual in Hollywood, you know. But if I want to have a movie with Denzel Washington in it, I'm more than happy to pay a dollar to Denzel's, you know, trust or estate. And that seems fair. That seems fair. But you know who doesn't get paid in this? The studios, because they suck. And the studios rip off the actors anyway. The studios suck. And by the way, You don't need screenwriters. You don't need, you know, camera people. You don't need props. You don't need makeup. You don't need set design. You don't need any, you don't need legal. You don't need any of that stuff. It's like, I just want to render, you know, what's the Denzel movie series that he's in? You know, where he's like a badass fighter guy. I forgot the name of it. But if I want to render that movie, I'm happy to pay Denzel an extra dollar. And then that allows these actors to continue to earn revenues as they age out of their ability to act. And this is especially important for female actors because, of course, there's such an emphasis in Hollywood on a youthful appearance. And once a woman gets beyond about 35, the number of roles that she will be cast for just collapses to almost nothing because, you know, Hollywood doesn't have a strong demand for, you know, grandma roles. Not really. While men, you know, they can continue to get decent roles as they age, you know, I mean, just like Denzel Washington or like Mel Gibson or whoever, right? So this system works great because you bypass the corrupt studios, but you still respect the talent, the actual actors, you know, Tom Cruise, right? If I want to render a movie with Tom Cruise in it, as long as his classifier prompt is okay with my movie content, why shouldn't we be able to render, you know, Mission Impossible 14 or something and pay a dollar to Tom Cruise? Now, again, that would not be probably downloadable. You know, like you have to watch it, like you render it on a platform like Seedance, and then you have to watch it on that platform because they don't want people to share the files, you know, obviously. So those details would have to be worked out. But if you render a movie with a no-name or a make-believe avatar, you know, instead of Tom Cruise, it's like Thom Blues or whatever, then you can download that file and share it with anybody because, you know, that doesn't have any likeness violations or copyright violations in it. Now, here's where this also gets even more interesting. Netflix will die. I said that earlier. And that's also a good thing because Netflix is tied to all the globalists and, you know, the Obamas. Netflix pushes satanic shows on children. You know, Netflix is not a good faith actor. Netflix, in my opinion, is a malicious actor in society. And they are used to brainwash people and push propaganda as they've done over and over and over again. That's become obvious. So it also seems kind of crazy that every show on Netflix, at least the ones that I've seen, not that I don't have a Netflix subscription, but I've seen them at other people's places. Every one of them has, you know, like two gay dudes kissing or a lesbian scene or whatever. Like all the LGBT themes are forced into every Netflix show. It's a prerequisite, you know. So LGBT characters are wildly overrepresented in Hollywood and in Netflix. It doesn't represent reality, but it does represent the bias and the, you know, the insanity of Hollywood and the Netflix industry. So Netflix will die for the same reason that Blockbuster died. Well, maybe not the same reason, but in a similar fashion. So Blockbuster, remember, used to go to Blockbuster stores and you would rent VHS tapes. Weren't those fun? And be kind, rewind when you take it back. You know, don't forget to rewind it. They charge you a rewinding fee. Because it's a tape. It's a physical tape. And there used to be Blockbusters all over town in the 1990s. Everywhere you go, Blockbuster over here, Blockbuster over there, because everybody's looking for something to watch, you know. And it would cost, too. You know, you'd pay $4 or $5 to rent a movie. You didn't even know if it was any good until you got it home. And then you find out it sucks. And then you take it back. And you forgot to rewind and they charge you another couple of bucks. So that model died because of what? Because of streaming. So Blockbuster died because of Netflix. And you may or may not recall, but Netflix didn't even start as a streaming service. It started as, do you remember? DVDs in the mail. That's right. They would freaking mail you DVDs. And then you play the DVDs and then you put them back in the mail to go back to Netflix headquarters. That's how they started. I remember I was a customer and, you know, came in a red envelope or a red yeah, I guess it's an envelope. And you know, you had to wait. You had to wait for the mail to show up. And depending on how much money you paid Netflix every month, they would allow you to have more DVDs out at a time. You couldn't get, like, you could have five out at a time, maybe, if you paid enough. And then when you send them back, when they get one back, you can get one more. So that's how that worked. And then Netflix made the transition to a streaming service. And then the streaming service put Blockbuster completely out of business. And Blockbuster's history. And people should have seen that coming, but a lot of people didn't. And that's also what's happening now. People don't see that Netflix is going to die and that Hollywood is going to die. People don't see it. Or maybe you do. I mean, I do, obviously. They're going to die because we don't need prepackaged, pre-made films any longer. Also, broadcast television, right? Who needs that? I mean, I haven't watched broadcast anything for decades, but there are still people who watch, I guess, Fox News or CNN or whatever silly things are on. People still have cable, for God's sake. That's just so 1980s. I don't know. Who still watches cable? But people do. And that's obsolete. Why? Because whatever you feel like watching, you can just create it. Coming up here, I'm talking about within the next roughly 2 years or less, you'll be able to just prompt it like, oh, I want a documentary about, I don't know, sailboats or whatever, right? And it'll create the documentary for you, render it and everything. And then you'll rent that, which is basically paying for the rendering and the script writing and everything, but it's all automated, it's all AI, and it'll deliver that to you, and you get to watch it. Like, oh, I want a documentary on sailboats that's fun and uplifting, right? So now you get a happy documentary. Or I want a documentary on sailboats that were lost and never found. It's dark. It's gloomy. You know, it can render that documentary, you see. So now you can create whatever you want, whatever you want. And you can even, you'll be able to create a TV show, a sitcom, if you want that. You know, if you want to create a game show, if you like to waste your life watching game shows, yeah, you can do that. Or you can create a full-length feature film, and it can be any kind of feature film you want. I can imagine the interface would ask you questions like, what kind of genre? Oh, science fiction. Okay. Is it dystopian or is it utopian? You know, and then people are like, I don't know what those mean. So you pick one. It's like, okay. Is the lead character a male or a female or unknown? Unknown, you know, on like a series of questions, and then it creates the prompt for you. You're like, and what language is it? Oh, this is in English. Okay. And you know, is it like a CGI, you know, Pixar style cartoon thing that, you know, 3D rendering? Is it like a manga, like a Japanese manga, cartoon, you know, or is it a photorealistic movie, and what kind of style, you know, director style? Is it like, you know, Stanley Kubrick or whatever, or Michael Bay? You know, how much action do you want in the scene? You know, how insanely exaggerated do you want the fireballs to be? So anyway, you give it the prompt, and then the system creates the movie, renders it. It'll be ready for you in a few minutes. Charges your credit card, you know, $5 or whatever. Or maybe you pay in crypto by that time. And then there's your movie. You get to watch it. And like I said earlier, oh, do you want Bruce Willis in the film? Oh, yeah, that's going to be an extra dollar. Do you want whoever, you know, some famous actress in the film? Oh, another dollar. You know, and you can imagine it'd be like, oh, different levels of ratings. Is this rated G? Is it PG? Is it R? Is it X? Oh, man. I mean, some platforms are just going to render porn all day. They're going to be able to charge all kinds of money because there's going to be a high demand for that. It's like, oh, I want to see, you know, whatever, the Kate, whatever, naked, you know. Probably the engines will refuse to do that. Not like a naked famous person, but they'll give you like a naked generic person, you know, if that's what people want. But my point is, it's going to be everything. You know, it's going to be all kinds of different genres. Like, I would like to see Harrison Ford in an updated, modernized version of, you know, Philip K. Dick, his, you know, his themes, his movies, you know, Blade Runner, but not filmed in one alley. Like, half that movie is in one alley. It feels claustrophobic. The whole film feels claustrophobic and dark. I'm like, can we have Blade Runner that's a little more, that's got, like, we can see the whole city? You know, like, just upgrade Blade Runner. Call Upgrade Runner, starring the avatar of Harrison Ford. and pay Harrison a dollar. You know, so he can buy another plane and crash it. Or John Travolta, for that matter, right? I mean, you get the idea. So that's why Netflix is going to die and Hollywood is also going to die. Largely. I mean, there will always be some small contingent of kind of, you know, cult art, this little niche. Like, we still do it the old way. You're just like right now, there's people who have like pinhole cameras and they actually expose film. And then they have a dark room with silver nitrite in it or whatever. And you know, they develop the film and it's like, this is the way it used to be done. Yeah. Okay. That's your hobby, but nobody else does that. That's the way Hollywood's going to be. Like, oh, we make movies with real people. Yeah. Okay. Because you can't make money doing that. Not in this ecosystem. You're just doing it because, you know, you love that art. Okay. Great. Have at it. But that's not going to be commercially viable, is my point. Because, you know, when your studio spends $100 million on a movie, but some guy can render it for $5, I mean, come on. And also, the guy that renders it is going to get a better movie because your Hollywood movie sucks. Now, here's the thing. Hollywood and its organizations, you know, the SAG and the MPA and whoever that is, they're going to try to sue, you know, they're going to try to apply political pressure. Really? They're going to try to get Trump or maybe Governor Newsom like to go after China. You know, you can't do this. So they're going to try to ban video rendering technology. That is not going to work. Not going to work. You know why? Because you can't ban math, and AI video rendering is based on math. And as consumer-grade hardware or prosumer hardware becomes more and more capable, and as the video engines become more and more efficient, you're going to have the mass decentralization of video rendering technology that will eventually make it to edge devices, although it might be a couple of years away. But eventually, you'll be able to render a movie on your desktop. And like before the year 2030, I'm confident. And the government can't easily ban that, can they? Because it's just math. And it's freedom of expression. There's a First Amendment right to engage in artistic expression in America. So the movie industry is going to have to do some kind of a, you know, arrangement like the one I just previously mentioned, which is maybe they can license existing films to let people augment them or upgrade them or convert them into, like, this doesn't suck versions, you know? Like, make a Ghostbusters sequel that doesn't suck. That would be great. And then, you know, maybe you pay a dollar to the studio or whoever owns Ghostbusters. You pay a dollar for the name or, you know, the vibe, like the look of the characters, etc. I'm okay with that. But the Hollywood is going to have to do a deal. And Hollywood's revenues are going to collapse. That's true. And also, by the way, human actors are going to have to compete with AI avatars that mostly look better. This is especially for women. You know, women have to have, typically in Hollywood, they have to have a very attractive look. They have to be interesting to look at. Otherwise, nobody's watching that James Bond film, you know? So AI avatars, though, can render, you know, the perfect proportions and shape and size and whatever. And the human actresses are going to have a really hard time competing with that. Very hard time. And so you'll actually have an industry that springs up of companies that do nothing but create virtual avatars to be used in movies. And those avatars will be, you know, copyrighted and trademarked and what have you. And it'll be a persona of someone that you can see, you know, someone that's persistent across different movies, like someone you like to see. And by the way, just as an example of this, if you go to my new website, brightvideos.com, we have rendered quite a few videos with AI avatars. And I want to show you just one of these to show you how compelling this is. So take a look at this. This is our AI avatar called Jack Harlow that I created. And he's delivering news about Ebola, Bill Gates, and Epstein, and the shadow government and things like that. So check out a little clip of this just to show you how compelling or how convincing this is right now.
A single week in September 2014 silently redefined our world. What began as a health crisis became the blueprint for a new era of global governance. I'm Jack Harlow, and we're investigating the hidden architecture of power that emerged from the Ebola outbreak. It started when the United Nations Security Council took the unprecedented step of declaring Ebola a threat to international peace and security. This moved the response from public health agencies into the realm of military and intelligence operations.
All right, so there you go, just about 30 seconds of Jack Harlow, who's not a real person. I created his voice, and I created his likeness and his image and the background and the studio and everything else. And that's the way this is going to go. So you're going to have new industries cropping up of artistic people that create avatars to be used in the films and the TV shows and the documentaries that people will, you know, render using these services. And I've also created a female avatar who talks about health and fitness, and I put her in the gym, and just want to show you how realistic this looks, how convincing this is. This isn't even using Seed Dance, by the way. So the technology is already better than this, but I want to show you just a few seconds of this female avatar. What did I name her? Jessica Jim. Yeah, that's I call her Jessica Jim. So anyway, check this out.
If you've ever pushed yourself at the gym only to feel a deep ache days later, you're not alone. But what if that soreness isn't a problem to be solved with pills, but a profound signal from your body? Tonight, we're decoding the truth behind post-workout recovery and the natural path to bouncing back stronger. This is your body's conversation. That stiffness you feel 24 to 48 hours after a tough session is known as delayed onset muscle soreness, or DOMS.
So you get the idea, right? So again, I design the avatar, I design the voice, I design, you know, the clothing, the outfits, the backgrounds, everything. And just as I've written, you know, the world's most prolific book publishing engine at brightlearn.ai, I'm going to be empowering those books through documentary creation. And I'll be using these virtual avatars in order to do that. Now, of course, I won't be using Brad Pitt's face, you know, because I'm not into, you know, ripping off people's likeness like that. I'm not going to use any existing people, but I'm going to use, you know, attractive or interesting people, people that you'd like to look at to deliver information, you know, an attractive voice. I'm not going to have like what Hollywood did to Star Trek, the new episode. They had like basically obese lesbians. it was like, you know, you're living 500 years in the future where you have warp drive, but still have obesity also at the same time. That's what Hollywood did to Star Trek. I'm not going to do that. Captain, the crystals are overloaded. The mass ratios are out of control. You know, I mean, it's totally insane. And for anyone saying, well, that's, you know, we want to watch the real news with real humans. Oh, you mean the morons reading the teleprompters and the scripts that are basically just actors? They're performers. You know, there's no real news on CNN or Fox News or CNBC for the most part. You know, there might be a few exceptions here and there, but mostly they're just actors reading scripts. They've been chosen because of their look. They're not journalists. They're performers. Okay, so you're already watching, you know, fake news being performed. You're not watching real news. And also, obviously, in Hollywood movies, those aren't the real people. They're playing a role. They are actors. They're pretending to be someone that they're not. Okay? I mean, I know this seems obvious, but people go, I want to see a real person acting. If they're acting, that's not the real person by definition. People say, but I want to know that's a real human that did that. Oh, you mean as you're looking through your digital screen with RGB pixels, you know, with your bit rate of streaming that's completely virtualized, that's also been, you know, color enhanced and audio enhanced, and all the audio has been dubbed in, and that person's had hair and makeup and everything. Oh, so you want to say that's real? My goodness. No, it's the fakiest fake thing ever. Hollywood's all about fake. So, you know, frankly, AI video is probably more real than what Hollywood's turning out, because at least with AI, you, the human, have to prompt it. Whereas with Hollywood, you're not even in control of that. Some other moron screenwriter is saying, how can we push LGBT themes into this movie and that show and this comedy? That's all it is. So the bottom line is, you know, I celebrate Hollywood being obsolete. I celebrate Netflix dying. It deserves to die. And actually, if Netflix is smart, Netflix will become a video rendering platform. I mean, they did a phase change once before by going from we will mail you DVDs to now you can stream video across the internet. That took courage to do that. Maybe they can do it again. Say Netflix is the place where you can generate the movies and shows you want, and we'll do licensing deals with all the talent, all the actors and everything. Maybe they could survive, but they won't survive in their current form. That's what I'm saying. And if they don't, yeah, good riddance, you know? You know, take your demonic scripts, your fake and gay shows, and throw them in the dumpster. We don't need it. We're going to render the stuff we want to see, just like we render the music we want to hear on Suno. See? It's very simple. And by the way, there's going to be like 2 decades of movies and shows that nobody watches. From, let's say, 2005 to 2025, roughly. Like that whole segment, everything became fake and gay and retarded and woke and stupid. Nobody is ever going to want those movies again. Not when you can create better movies in a few minutes using advanced AI technology that will be widely available. So all these woke screenwriters that thought, like, we're making history by putting, you know, smooching lesbians in every film. No, you're not. You made it to the dumpster of history because nobody will watch your films when there's a better alternative. And isn't that a good thing? Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So good riddance, Hollywood, Motion Picture Association, SAG fags, everything else out there, good riddance. We don't need you. We don't want you. You've been a scourge on society. We're going to render our own stuff. We're going to make better movies, you know, more wholesome movies, movies that have a moral message in them. How about that? And all the Christians can render like pro-Christian movies. We can basically make every movie like a Denzel Washington movie that has a moral challenge and then some kind of moral salvation in the film. Wouldn't that be great? We can choose to do that. So goodbye, Hollywood. Hello, AI video. And thank you, China. China is making this possible. That's what's great. I'll say in Chinese, 谢谢中国,因为美国的电影好丑的. It's true. I said American movies suck. Yeah, we're everything's changing from here forward. Yeah, I speak Mandarin, and but you know what? That'll be fun because I'll be able to render all kinds of movies in Chinese at the vocabulary level that I have. Because I can handle a lot of Chinese, but not like really technical vocabulary. And I'm trying to increase my vocabulary in things like tech and robotics and AI. And it's very difficult to find any kind of, you know, instructional material in Chinese for these topic areas. But I can have AI render that. It'll be very helpful. I'm like, I learned the word for robot, you know, 机器人. And of course, we all know computers and things like that, you know, 电脑. But I don't know about all the AI terminology in Chinese. I need a way to figure that out. All right. Anyway, thank you for listening. If you want to follow my articles, you can find them at naturalnews.com. And if you want to use my AI tools, they're all free and they're amazing, groundbreaking tools. Create your own books at brightlearn.ai. Use our AI research engine at brightanswers.ai. And you can also follow news trends with AI analysis at brightnews.ai. And again, my articles are at naturalnews.com. So thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, AI developer. This is a very exciting time to be alive. I can't wait to make films, full-length films and documentaries, and share them with you for free. That's what's coming. Just stay tuned.
Stock up on Health Ranger's nascent iodine, highly bioavailable, shelf-stable, non-GMO, and lab-tested for purity. A bug-out bag essential. Only at healthrangerstore.com.